part of a vast ongoing effort at web-based manipulation. What's far more concerning is the lack of transparency about Facebook's practices overall, says Zeynep Tufekci, an assistant professor at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and a former fellow at the Center for Information Technology Policy at Princeton University. I'm concerned about these practices, testing and manipulating the user experience every day. What else does Facebook do every day? We have no idea. Mining personal data is a billion-dollar business designed to elicit purchases, garner eyeballs, and shape behavior. Advertising and the media work to manipulate our emotions all the time, so I don't find this study to be particularly problematic, Craner says. We are all laboratory rats without being aware of it. The real issue, Craner and others say, may be that when academic institutions are involved, researchers at Cornell University and the University of California, San Francisco participated in the emotion study, their academic institutional review board should take a closer look. Currently, this is mainly done when federal funds are involved. Federal policy for protecting human subjects in federally funded research, called the Common Rule, requires that subjects give their informed consent and that a statement of the procedures includes a description of any reasonably foreseeable risks or discomforts to the subject. Facebook's data use policy is far more vague, saying that it might use your data for internal operations, including troubleshooting, data analysis, testing, research, and service improvement. This lack of consent is concerning to Antonio Damasio, a neuroscientist at the University of Southern California, who has made key findings in the understanding of the brain processes underlying emotion. I agree that emotion manipulation is quite common, not only on the web, but in daily life, he says. That is what advertising in general and marketing in particular are about, but that does not authorize researchers to conduct experiments without proper consent. I can find no excuse for this behavior and no way of condoning it. Recently, Facebook said it had nothing to add beyond the apology its researcher Adam Kramer posted on the matter. Next, Tom Simonite reports on how Ray Kurzweil says he's breathing intelligence into Google Search. The big announcements at Google's recent I/O event in San Francisco didn't mention web search, the technology that got the company started and made it so successful. But in a small session later that day, the inventor and futurist Ray Kurzweil talked confidently about making Google's current search technology obsolete. Kurzweil joined the company 18 months ago to lead a project aimed at creating software capable of understanding text as well as humans can. Yesterday, he told the audience that progress on this effort was good and that it would result in an entirely new way to search the web and manage information. You would interact with it like you would a human assistant, said Kurzweil. It will be possible to ask a question of the software just as you would if talking to another person, he said, and you could trust that it would return a fully reasoned answer, not just a list of links as Google's search engine does today. Such a virtual assistant might also take the initiative, Kurzweil said, coming forward when new information had appeared that was relevant to an earlier query or conversation. Kurzweil said the technology will eventually be as widely used as Google's current search engine, and its scope will extend beyond text documents. He also predicted that specialized chips designed to implement key parts of the information processing involved would make the technology cheaper to deploy. Kurzweil gave few details of how the software would work, but he said it was based on the theory of intelligence expounded in his 2012 book, How to Create a Mind. Kurzweil's theory is that all functions in the neocortex, the wrinkled outer layer of our brains that is the seat of reasoning and abstract thought, are based on systems that use a hierarchy of pattern recognition to process information. Each layer, he argues, uses the output of the ones below it to work with increasingly complex and abstract patterns. In the case of reading text, Kurzweil claims, our brain first recognizes individual letters. It can then proceed to understand the words they form, then the meaning of phrases or sentences, and eventually the thought or argument the person who wrote them is trying to convey. Google's current search technology is able to understand only the lower levels of that hierarchy, such as synonyms for individual words, says Kurzweil. It can't synthesize that low-level knowledge to build up understanding of higher-level concepts. The idea of building intelligent software that looks for successive levels of patterns in data isn't exclusive to Kurzweil. He said his group is using a technique known as hierarchical hidden Markov models, in use for over a decade.